The question is that how does Shankaracharya and the Advaitins generally comment on verses where Krishna clearly talks about Maya Adhyakshina Prabhupati, I am the Lord of material nature. So there are different strategies they use. One of the basic strategies is that they say that these are statements which are all Laghuvakya. They are true, but they are Laghuvakya. So within the within this structure of the universe, certain statements are true. Yes, Krishna is the Lord of Prakriti. But then ultimately you have to go beyond it. Another statement is they say that the scriptures talk about, now I'm not talking about only Shankaracharya's commentary, because many Advaitins have written commentaries and later on also. Some of them say that yes, the Bhagavad Gita has different parts which are meant to encourage different people. So some sections are for bhaktas, some sections are for jnani, some sections are for yogis. So if you are like the path of bhakti, you can focus on those verses. There's a famous yogi who wrote a commentary in the Bhagavad Gita, but he finished his commentary in 6 chapters only. Why? Because he is a yogi and he focuses on Ashtanga Yoga. And his commentary ends not at 6.47, it ends at 6.46. 6.46 is what? Tapasvibhyo adhiko yogi, jnanibhyo adhiko vika, karmibhyascha adhiko yogi, tasmad yogi bhava Arjuna. Therefore, jnani is, yogi is better than a tapasvi, yogi is better than a karmi, yogi is better than a jnani, therefore become a yogi. That is the conclusion of the Gita according to. So they have that attitude that different sections of the Bhagavad Gita are meant for different people. And Sanskrit also is a language which is open to multiple interpretations. Sometimes they also have this idea that when Krishna is referring to Maya, when he is referring to Ma, they try to interpret in such a way that Krishna is actually not there is the impersonal Brahman who is speaking from within Krishna. And Krishna refers to Maam, he is not referring to himself, he is actually referring to that impersonal Brahman. And so they have various interpretive strategies. But it is difficult to interpret the Bhagavad Gita in that way. And that's one of the interesting things that about the Bhagavad Gita. There is a Western scholar who has taken about 108 commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. He studied all of them together. And he says that actually if you look at the verses of the Bhagavad Gita itself, as well as the verses of the Vedanta Sutra, now, they are themselves much more supportive of personalism than impersonalism. So, in general, Western commentators who have studied the Bhagavad Gita, most of them have found the Bhagavad Gita to be a very bhakti-centered book. In fact, when Christian theologians came to India, their initial conception was that Hinduism is monistic. And when they read the Bhagavad Gita, they said, this is not a monistic book. This is actually a devotional book, very similar to the way Christians worship the monotheistic God. So they felt that among the Indian literature, the Bhagavad Gita is very close to Christian conception of God, the Christian conception of worshipping God. So basically, the shadow of Shankaracharya's Advaitavad was cast for a long time on Indian translators of the Gita. And that's why they often interpreted Gita in impersonalist ways. But in general, Gita definitely has impersonal sections. There are verses which do talk about impersonalism, and that is a part of the Gita. But if you look at the overall Gita, the Gita's culmination is in bhakti. And the Gita does talk about the personal manifestation of the Absolute Truth as the highest manifestation. Okay. Any other?